Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
All right. So today we are going to be having something much more, something we're going to continue from where we stopped, and prepare yourself for global missions. Amen. Prepare yourself for global missions. So what I'm going to be doing today is to be equipping you with the knowledge and the how to do missions. Is that okay now? Very important. Now, let's turn our Bible, book of Luke. Luke chapter number 10. The book of Luke chapter number 10. We'll start the reading from verse 1. Luke chapter number 10. We'll start the reading from verse 1. Luke chapter number 10. We start the reading from verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. He sent them before his face into how many city? Every city and what? And place where he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into his harvest. So it means that our prayer can hasten the release of laborers in the harvest, or for the harvest. But we can actually pray that laborers are sent. You see that now? So what this means is, we have not been sent to spread hopelessness. You see, we have different versions of the gospel that is being preached. Some preach the gospel of Christ, and some preach another gospel. You see, when you preach hopelessness, you are preaching another gospel. All right? So, what Jesus is saying is that you don't look at a territory and conclude, this place is dry, there are no men. When you discover that there is scarcity of people in a place or laborers, you can actually pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. You can. You're on campus, you discover that scarcity of men laboring for the kingdom. You can pray. You can ask that the wind of the Spirit will bring laborers. God has sent you to a place to plant a church or to do a work. You can't do it alone. You can pray that the Lord of the harvest will send what? Or who? Laborers. Those whose vision, whose passion, whose commitment is towards the harvest. You see that now? They are available. Are you following me now? Now, laborers in different fields. Laborers with different skills. Laborers with different version or different kinds of contribution. Okay? We have the Jethros. Not necessarily holding the mic. but they carry the administrative wisdom. We have the musicians. These are laborers. You see, sometimes the mistake we make. So let me give you an instance. Okay, I like to give simple examples. Is that okay? So, recently I started thinking about, you know, this football award that is given, Ballon d'Or, and all that, and I was like, oh, when with the way this thing is being done, it looks like the people who stand a chance of winning it will be those who are playing front, attacking midfielders, and a few of them like that, or wingers. What's the hope of the defender? How about the keeper? And sometimes we try to copy and paste this same reality into the gospel. But it looks like, oh, those who receive the crown are those who are preaching alone. That's not true. The person who is preaching is able to preach because others have done their part well. And they'll be rewarded for it. That's part of the labor. Yes, human carnal nature, well, or limited, or you know, we have a limited nature. We are limited to what we can see. All right? May put the person who preach in front. But that doesn't change the fact that God is the rewarder of all. Are you following me now? God rewards labor. The Bible said it is not unjust to forget what are labors of love. God doesn't forget. Oh. When you labor and you serve God, and he will show up, sir. Are you following me? He will. Say it again. God doesn't forget our labors of love. Say it again. It's not unjust to forget our labors of love. Come on, say it again. God is not unjust to forget our labors of love. Praise God. Amen. He doesn't forget. He hasn't forgotten. You see, let me tell you something. If you don't want discouragement to sweep you away at some point in your life, you must always put in perspective the reward system of God. The reward. You know, we don't know the reason why we are seeing some of the things we are seeing now. We don't know which of the God bless yous is working. Do you understand? It does reward. Sometimes people do certain things and you are prayed for. God will send you men. You will not be alone. You will not lack men. God won't forget. He's not unjust. So he is saying that the quality of forgetting labors is the quality of being unjust. And he said he's not unjust. Praise God. He's not unjust. Say it again. God doesn't forget our labors of love. Whether people see it or not, whether they award it or not, whether they reward it or not, whether they appreciate it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, God sees all and rewards all. He does. Praise God. Are you following me now? God does what? He sees all. And he does what? Rewards all. So now, in verse 3 it says, go your ways. Behold, I sent you forth as lambs among wolves. I send you as lambs among wolves. All right. He said, carry neither purse, nor money, nor shoe, and salute no man by the way. And into whatever house you enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, the peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating, drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. All right. Go not from house to house. Are you following? Now look at it. Verse 9 now. He said, and heal the sick. Somebody say, heal the sick. Come on, say it again. Say it again, heal the sick that are daring. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near you. That's the message. Preach the kingdom. heal the sick. Now, can I be factual with you? No man is a miracle worker. No man is. Okay? Let me explain. Okay, hold on. You say, what about the gift of working of miracles? It is working because the Holy Ghost is at work through us. I know some of you have watched me. One of the pastors was telling me, he said, I've been watching to catch this thing. How that you speak gentle and, stress-free. And when you want to do impartation meeting, you become more quiet. That's why I was studying that. What is this that I need to catch this thing? So he said he went to observe. And the one day he said, finally I got it. I've gotten this thing. And he went to practice it. And the power of God surged through everywhere. He said, I'll do it again. He did it again. The power of God moved everywhere. Then he called somebody. He said, let me teach you. I found this thing that apostle used to do. I've not asked him, what did you find? Is it the way I moved? So he taught the person. The person went moving power massively. So finally, I got it. I was so excited. Because this thing is not the exclusive right of a few. We all have been called to work miracles. And I'm going to make it very simple for you. Is that okay? Very, very simple. Okay? So the question is, now, he has given us the instruction. So in carrying out this gospel, we need to heal the sick. So the world will not open up until we walk in power. And that's why in Acts 1:8 it says that you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you need power. Somebody say you need power. Now, do you have the Holy Ghost? That's why I said this morning is equipping. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Yes, are you sure you have the Holy Spirit? Yes, then you have power. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 2, the Bible says that they were all gathered together in the upper room, praying with one accord. And suddenly there was a rushing mighty wind. A sound came from heaven and filled where they are seated as a rushing mighty wind. And sat upon them cloven tongues like fire. And I've said this before, that the reason why it was the form of fire that sat on them in the upper room was tongues is because the tongue is going to be the most vital instrument for the end time church. You are not going to get miracles if you don't say it. Okay? So when we stand in meetings and I say the blind eyes will open, the lame will walk, tumors will disappear because we dare to say it. The power will not follow you until you say it. Praise God. So even when the anointing come upon you, you must learn to say it. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Don't ever sit down and feel that these people just have some power. God, everything you see, you can walk in. Everything you see. You see, I've been following Deeper Life Crusade in India. And I'm just so excited. I'm just so excited. I love when the gospel penetrates different regions, different cultures, different tribes, different nations. Praise God. And we're going to do that. And I'm excited much more seeing these men in their 80s still standing strong, preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus. And I watched Pastor W.F. Kumuyi preach. And I watched him pray for the sick. The same way I saw him some 16 years ago when he came to Kano. A boy was wheeled in, a youth copper. Now, we have a family business that deals with mega sound for all these kind of crusades and all that. So we were in charge of the production for the crusade and all that. So we saw when they wheeled the boy in before the choir started singing. They wheeled him in and he was just there. All right? And as the prayers were going on, I watched the boy fold his hands, cry to God. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I was watching him. And by the time the man of God was done preaching, he said very simple prayers. And I was disappointed. Father, in the name of Jesus, let blind eyes be opened. Not so? And there's a reason why I rarely and barely call people out to minister to them one-on-one. Rarely. Maybe except for the case of short legs and all that. Because the word of God is more than enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can work miracles. You see that now. So, said those prayers. I was too certain that nothing will happen. You should have added more effort. You see. Then, suddenly, I started hearing people shout, "Oh, there's a wheelchair there. Another crutch is there. One eyes have opened. I can now hear." It's like, what? Just like that. Then I saw that boy. Began to adjust his wheelchair. In fact, he did not even wait for them to begin to mention the testimonies. You know, in football, there's something called no look pass. He didn't wait. And then, now this was the funny thing. Over 40 minutes after he had left the crusade ground, miracles were still happening, like somebody was still praying. The atmosphere was charged. And I saw that youth copper get up on his feet, carried his wheelchair in his hands, and began to run. Why is that possible? There is a power that follows the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? The power of God." Say, the gospel is the power of God. Say it again, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is. Anywhere this gospel is preached, the power of God will be made available. Anywhere. Anywhere. Anywhere this gospel is preached. See, you don't need drama. You see, sometimes the drama we say around power, probably there are dimensions, but sometimes it's also about the temperament of the person. The issue is that many believers are not conscious of the fact that they have power. Let me ask you a question. Has God anointed you? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good? We had that confession in Kano. And each time we had that confession, there was a bolt of power running through the place. Bolt of power. Let's do it again. How God anointed. What's your name? Get up on your feet. I want you to become conscious of it. Are you ready for me? Let's go again. How God anointed. No. What is your name? How God anointed. Femi Lazarus, with the Holy Ghost and with power. How God anointed. What's your name? How God anointed. What is your name? How God anointed. What is your name? Loud and clear. How God anointed. With the Holy Ghost and with power. With the Holy Ghost and with power. With the Holy Ghost. And with power, how God anointed Femi Lazarus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And I go about doing good, healing all them that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with me. Now be seated. Now I've entered into different places. Different families, different homes, where the power of darkness is so strong. Sometimes when you go to places and they describe what the devil is doing, you almost feel there's no hope. But there's nowhere the gospel enters and does not turn hopelessness into hope. Praise God. The gospel contains in itself the power of God to liberate the world, to free human being from every suffering, every pain, every disaster. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I said the gospel is the power of God. It is not primitive. It is the power of God. I said the gospel is the power of God. I said this gospel is the power of God. When we carry it, we are not retarded. We carry power. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's what we carry. That's what we carry. Sometimes you get to a place and you are amazed at the way witchcraft has ravaged an entire family. At the way witchcraft has destroyed an entire family. You are amazed at the things you are hearing. I told you I was invited to pray for a young man. And I saw. I mean, don't let me get to the case. All right, I've seen cases. Praise God. I was ministering. And the power of God came so much. And they moved the program from 3 days evening meeting, and then we have to extend it beyond 3 days, and it has to become a vigil. And fortunately, the place where I was invited, this is about 13, 14 years ago. The place where I was invited could only seat max maybe 100 people. But the entire city now gathered. Everybody wants to see the anointing. Everybody wants a touch of healing. A woman came there, a prominent woman, saw what was happening, sent for her daughter to be brought from Lagos just to be a part of that meeting. Praise God. And they brought the daughter in. I didn't even know. Came out charged. I learned something from Ora Robot. He said he never step out for any meeting until he can sense the power of the Spirit. And that's the protocol. And while the meeting was on, I heard a sound like somebody had busted nylon, this pure nylon. I heard that sound. And I was hearing Jesus. Jesus, what's happening? People were gathering around the girl. The lump she had been carrying, big lump, had busted open by itself. Nobody pushed her. Nobody punctured it. All right. Now, this has happened several times. And as they were cleaning her up, the skin under was brand new. Brand new skin. The gospel contains the power for creative miracles, contains the power for recreative miracles, contains the power for healings. It does. It does. We're having a case on the OAU campus, praying for I don't remember whether a girl or a guy now that had short leg and long leg. We overprayed. The leg that was shorter became the longest. That's the power of the gospel. I've seen things. Praise God. I've seen things. Seen the sick being discharged. The gospel contains the power of God. Hallelujah. You're going to walk in miracles. I said you will walk in miracles. I said you will walk in miracles. You know, when I share stories, some of you will wonder and say, my God, will I ever have this track record? Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. I said, oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. Now, but you will not until you start going about doing good. You have to. When power comes, you don't sit with it. You have to move with it. Is that okay now? Power must flow. That's the essence. It must get something done. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It must get something done. Don't have fully charged batteries you abandon. It will run down. Power must get something done. Are you following what I'm saying here? Do you love power? You must test for it. You must test for it. You must love to see the power of God move. You must love to see the power of God move. Praise God. All right? The power of God is not just displayed in healings. The power of God is displayed also in accurate word of knowledge. Accurate word of knowledge. Praise God. Somebody sent me a mail from Kano. And then said, you were passing by. And you just saw myself and my wife. And you just held our hands and agreed with us. I can't remember their faces. He said, an hour after you prayed that prayer for us, the mail we've been expecting, trusting God for, praying for, came in. I said, my God, I didn't even know. But I know once the power is released, anything darkness is holding is released, comes out. All right. Some people came to see me, traveled down, were running a private university. They've not released certain accreditation document, but not released. They've waited for years. Traveled down to my office to see me and prayed for them. They were so excited and said, you can go. Trust God for an answer to come. On their way traveling back, in less than 1 hour, they called me. They would have just received the mail that all the documents were waiting. I think about 4 years, wear it. Amen. Praise God. You see, you will not see it if you don't put it to work. You will not see the lame walk if you don't tell the lame walk. You will not see the blind see if you don't tell. See, the problem is that you have studied to know too much about the problem than the power to solve the problem. That's it. Okay? That's it. And you need this power. Because the world, look at what the Bible says, Isaiah 60. Give us that scripture. The book of Isaiah chapter number 60, we'll start the reading from verse 1. Isaiah chapter number 60 from verse 1. Isaiah 60 from verse 1. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Father. Isaiah 60 from verse 1. Look at it. Can you give us the scripture? Say, I rise, shine, for your light is come. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon who? So, glory of God is risen upon who? Glory of God is risen upon who? Upon me. Said, for behold, what we covered the earth, darkness, and gross darkness, the people. Now, listen, darkness is covering the earth through sickness, pain, sorrow, distress, identity crisis, emotional trauma, mental health issues. Darkness is covering the world. You'll be amazed how somebody who has billions will just get up one morning and hang themselves. And you think money is the solution. You'll be amazed how somebody who is working in affluence will just get up one day and end their own life. And you think that's the solution. Darkness will cover the head. And gross darkness, the people. Praise God. Gross darkness, the people. That's the situation. That's the normal. That's the new normal for the world. That's their experience. Sicknesses of different kinds that you have not heard before. Strange ones. In fact, they are still discovering different kinds of sicknesses. The categories are expanding. Okay? And new things. But darkness is not a threat where there's light. I said darkness is not a threat where there's light. Say, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and what shall be seen upon you? His glory shall be seen on you. When that happens, then Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. What does that mean? Anywhere there is darkness, we shine the light. I said we shine the light. And I can't forget, in fact, I think this story is one story I will tell God to replay so that the whole world can watch when we get to heaven. He needs to replay it. The whole world needs to see it. It's an experience I will never forget. When I went to preach in that village and the chief called me and the team and said, thank you for coming to preach. I said, but please, I have a burden, I have a challenge before you preach. One of my chiefs is dying. Can you pray for him? That God will heal him. You know, as a young preacher, why not? Let's go there. Then this should be around 2010 or thereabouts. Let's go. Let me see. Then he told a small boy to lead me to where the man was. And I noticed that the boy had a stick in his hand. When the small boy got too close to the altar, he pointed the stick forward. Bam, bam. That was it. Pointed the stick forward. I was wondering, follow me now. The boy didn't just pointed, say, I should go there. And when I entered, I understood the reason why he did that. At first sight, you would almost think that the fellow on the bed, you would almost think that's a cadaver. It was a state of death. You could count his ribs. And everywhere was smelling, oh, the stench. And I watched him. Every time he tries to cough, you look as if his rib cage will explode and he pushes himself to cough. Anybody who knows how tuberculosis is, you know that's TB. And the wrappers, so I described the reason why the room was smelling, because the clothes there, that's where he will spit. and you could see everything. And I was holding my breath. So I will hold my breath and just say, Father, heal him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because it's done. Amen. You know, there's a way you escape. If you are praying for people to get healed, people are watching you. The person didn't get healed. You may want to quickly do one that will make the person fall down anointing and say, don't worry, you'll be fine, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. Pastor has escaped. You don't need that. So the Holy Spirit ministered to me and he said, go to him. You know what? He said, go to him. Pick him up. Ah, pick who? Is it the smell or the bacteria that is released to the atmosphere? If I remember, TB is a bacteria. It is. Bacterium, tuberculosis, all those names that did all those things. And it's airborne. It's airborne. I mean, having the knowledge, I was not going to inhale the air. But now God is saying, carry him. I tell you in all honesty, when I carried him, it feels like you are carrying a 7-year-old child. Was weightless. Weightless. The legs, you could see all the joints, like big balls, was dry. So God said, embrace him. How? Already at this point, I knew I can't hold my breath except to come and carry me out. So I had to breathe that same air. I embraced him. The guy was falling, like the knees were dropping. I tell you how much there was no strength. And the Lord said to me, say, embrace him. And he said, begin to release life. Oh, Jesus, who release life. It was at that point that compassion began to well in my spirit. I didn't know I was not compassionate. I could see myself in his shoes. When you pray for the sick, consider the fact that what if this is the last opportunity they have? So we cannot guess power. We must walk in it. I held him and he was dropping. His brain in the Holy Ghost was crying, God heal him. Let the life of God flow through him. Let the life of God flow through him. And at some point I saw that it was not my effort keeping him to stand. He was standing on his two legs, praise God. And I was still holding him. Was standing, and I saw he could stand. I began to release him. He was looking at me. And I held his hands, and I saw his two legs now stood. And we began to walk around the room. Yakabatakai, Esikabante, Kelibatai, Kalabate, Yeketina, Parikande, Sigemene, Sigeleba. He was just looking at me. And was walking. I didn't know that the entire village were already gathered outside. Oh, what a day. When I held his hands and we both stepped out of that room where they have kept him thinking he will never come out and that's where he's going to die. Oh, the joy. Oh, the tears. That's why I said this clip needs to be replayed in heaven. I've never seen a crowd cry like that. I didn't know he was that loved. Everybody, even the chief himself, went and fell on his knees, put his hand on his head with tears. We couldn't do our crusade because they were ready to receive Jesus. When power goes ahead, the message does not have to be long because power is a message. Are you following what I'm saying here? And I didn't know for how many years the man has not been able to step out. You will struggle without power. You will. Anything, any angle, the power of God feels it. Praise God. Say it again, Lord, I have power. Say, I receive power. Now, I want us to raise this sound. Lord, make us instrument of your peace. Do you know that sound? Make us instrument of your peace. Of your peace.
Of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase, Lord. measurements of your peace. Wars of pride and prejudice shall cease. Oh God, when we are your instrument of peace.
Oh yes, thank you. One more time.
Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Wars of pride and prejudice shall cease.
We have access to preach this glorious gospel because some people did not keep quiet. And what I've discovered is that if you are ready to labor and partner with Jesus for the harvest, it's going to bring you into fields of harvest. Fields of nations ready for harvest. The field is white. All the problems we complain about, we are the solutions. Science is powerful. Science is beautiful. Science is amazing. It's done quite a number of things. People have, you know, said a couple of things about science. Simplified life, telecommunications, even healthcare inventions. Drugs, vaccines, technology, and different forms of things, industrialization. Science has done its bit, but science cannot save the soul of man. The problem of the world is not primitiveness, it is sin. Sin. By one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Sin is the problem. That's the challenge. That's the issue. Are you following me now? That's the issue. And what's the solution? The glorious gospel. That's the solution. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Amen. Now look at it from verse 1. Paul speaking said, "Moreover, brothers, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand." So we said, "I preach the gospel to you, which also you receive, and wherein you stand." He said, "By which also you are saved." So when the gospel is preached, it is preached unto salvation. Amen. We preach to people to be saved. You see, the message that gets people saved is not come to my church. It is introducing Jesus. And that's what I want to show you now. So when you learn this, this is how to preach the gospel. Is that okay? This is what to preach. He said, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures." So, what's the implication of this? The sinner needs to know that he doesn't have to die. Somebody already paid the price. Now, let me compare a few scriptures. Are you with me? Do you mind I compare a few scriptures? Let's compare a few scriptures. All right. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter number 3. Let's compare a few scriptures. Oh, praise God. Now, if you're there, say amen. Now, Romans chapter number 3. Let's start the reading from Romans 3, Let's start the reading from verse 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, Romans 3 from verse 20, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned, all had that verdict, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. You must understand that all sinned. You didn't have to be born and then try to, as long as you were born with the nature of the flesh, you are born a sinner. And come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth for the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare the righteousness of God for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Look at it. We are justified freely. What does it mean to be justified? To be discharged and acquitted. To be justified is the state of clearance from sin and guilt and given absolute right stand with God. So we must understand that the one who is in sin, whether being a gay, whether being a lesbian, whether being an addict, a drug addict, whatever form of addiction, must understand that the price has been paid. Okay? You see, it is not threat that bring people to Christ. It is the fact. And I don't want to jump ahead of myself to show you what the devil does through hopelessness. Most times the sinner is neck deep in sin because he doesn't think there's a way out. People feel with what I've done, no, I just have to finish it. You see that now. But the message of the gospel is Christ died for your sin. So what is that he died? Is that a good news? Yes. Because it is in offering his blood that you have redemption. Praise God. He offered his blood, meaning that there is an atonement that has been made for this sin, and you can receive it. Praise God. But that he died is not just the gospel. Okay? It didn't stop there. Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. And that he was buried. Somebody say he was buried. Now, the reason why the burial was necessary is so that the knowledge of his death can go beyond doubt. Okay? In fact, if it was about dying and resurrecting, Jesus could have died and woken up the next 1 hour. But the devil will convince people that he fainted. That he didn't die. Now, why did Jesus spend 3 days buried? He said, there's no sign that will be given to this generation but the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, Son of Man shall be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So that's the sign of Jonah. Why dying for 3 days? Very simple. Okay? You need to have answers. Because the Jews do not believe that the soul is separated from the body until after 3 days. So he needed to spend that time to make it beyond proof and beyond dispute that he died. Now we must understand that. I said he died.
Yes, sir.
So he died. And then he was what? Buried. He was buried 3 days. If you had gotten there day one, you'd be amazed that the clothes they used to wrap him had stained. And you'd be amazed that maybe a few fluids are still being drained, still coming out. And he stained every now and then, the bruises, the blood, the stains, everything. He was buried the same way you bury a dead body. Are you following what I'm saying there? He was buried. 3 days he was there. If you enter the second day, you probably have to cover your nose. Because he didn't die just like that. They bleed him around. And what happens is that there's a lot of bacterial activities around those wounds, and they begin to smell. Amen. If you got there the morning of the third day, you'd still be amazed. You have to cover your nose. Praise God. But we're told that the disciples were going there. Mary, called Magdalene, went ahead of them. And when she came to the place where he was buried, behold, the stone had been rolled away. Praise God. I said, the stone had been rolled away. And she was amazed. The stone had been rolled away. What's happening? And she went inside. He's gone. But the cloth is there. Death could not hold him captive. And she found 2 men. Clothed in white apparel. One was around, the other one was seated on the tombstone. to show that the power that raised him from the grave is not hidden. We take responsibility for this work. You know, when you look at the American soldiers, if you study the mission where they captured and killed Osama bin Laden, it was a mission where they must not be discovered, spotted, or seen. It was not been known that America came in there. You understand what I'm saying now? But it was a mission because of diplomatic relationships and all that. But there's nothing diplomatic about this. The earth should know that the power came and picked him up and said, "What are you looking for? Where is he?" Said, "He's risen. As he said to you, he's risen." I said, "He's risen." And then the baby was like, he said, "Go to Galilee. Go and tell the brethren that he's risen." And when they got there, they were talking. They were still disputing among themselves. This. Could they have come and pick him? Would they have come? He told them several times that this temple will be broken down and built back up again. But they didn't believe. And while they were still disputing, behold, he came amongst them. This time around, not knocking any doors, because now there is a body that nothing could hold bound. Came and walking and stood amongst them. They were looking at the one they buried, died. They saw him yielded up the ghost. He died. But if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the grave be in us, that same spirit will quicken your mortal bodies. He rose. And he spent 40 days showing it beyond doubt. I didn't faint, I died. And I rose again, praise God. Showing beyond doubt. Showing beyond doubt. He rose again, praise God. And when Thomas was doubting and doubting, he said, "Come." He said, "Put your hands in my hands." And he thrust his hand to the hole where the nail passed. "This is the Lord. Put your hand to my side." And he thrust the side to the place where the spear had entered. "It is the Lord." And he said, "Blessed is that generation whom having not seen yet believes." We are that generation. Praise God. He rose. On the third day, he rose. Now, that is where the root of our faith is. The fact that there is something called the power of resurrection. Let everything dead come alive. Amen. Everywhere there is death, let there be life. Amen. Same power of resurrection. Penetrate everywhere there is death. In the name of Jesus. Everywhere there is death, I speak life. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life to dead wombs. Come alive. Dead businesses. Come alive. Dead altars. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. He rose. Anywhere this gospel is preached, the power of God will be made available. You cannot preach the gospel and the power of God is absent. Praise God. Somebody tell your neighbor, "This is the good news." Heroes, 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 heroes. We are not serving late Jesus. We are serving Jesus. Now look at the way, let me quickly show you this scripture and then I close. The way he introduced himself to John in Revelations chapter number 1. Revelations chapter number 1. Amen. Are you there with me now? Verse 18. Oh, praise God. Are you there? Said, "I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death." This is the gospel we preach. This is the gospel. He can raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. And as he is, so are we. Because when he died, we died with him. Can I quickly show you that scripture? Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. When he died, we did what? We died with him. And when he rose, we rose with him. Praise God. Look at it. Romans chapter number 6. Are you there now? Romans 6 verse 3 now. He said, "Know you not," Romans 6 verse 3, "that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried with him by the baptism into his death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead also by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." So when he died, we died. When he rose, we rose again. Praise God. Let the resurrected church shout a big amen. Amen. Now this is the gospel, not argument. This is the gospel. Have you been blessed this morning? Give Jesus a big hand.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.